Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My little baby.
I was on with the other show.
I was upstairs talking to construction guys.
I know. So I went to go, I figured I would go spread my talents on the Anna show. And then
how'd it go?
Anna barely opened up the show, and then Caveman opens up, and he looks at me, and he points to the studio. So I started running in here, and he goes, I'm recording in both. Woo!
How was my friend?
I'm good. Sorry, I'm out of breath. There's a lot
Welcome to the Clem and Kush.
Bubba, what are you eating, man? This is no good for podcasting.
Oh, a FMOP?
No.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing?
Eating.
What is it?
Crackers.
Why did you wait till we were on the air to do it?
But we're not on the air. We're podcasting.
No, that's on the air.
Oh. See, I'm not a... Sorry.
Yeah, no. This is podcasting.
So we cut all that out?
Oh, well, I'll see what I can do.
See, I'd almost not cut it out because it's what people want.
I don't know. Me personally, not a huge fan of eating on the air. So...
Me either.
What the... I mean, you're not stopping, though.
No, but when I hear a guy on the air eating, I get mad about it.
Like, who does it, though? Who do you hear eating on the air?
Some old tapes of me. I get mad. Man, what the fuck are you?
Finish up that fucking cracker already. All holy right. Shit.
Okay.
To be professionals here. I thought we were going to talk about something serious.
Mental health.
Yeah. You said that you wanted to you felt like this was a good place where you could finally open up about what's going on with you.
Oh, my God.
And I thought that was exciting. That's what people want to hear about. The real shit. The fuck. Not the real crackers that you're eating.
I'm done.
Are they club crackers?
They were.
Oh, those are delicious. They're so buttery.
And they get in your dental.
Yeah, I only eat crackers after I'm sick and you can't really eat anything. You sort of start to ease food back in your body.
But then you start liking the crackers. You're like, this could be a caloric issue.
Well, I eat all the crackers. Yeah, when I start to ease back into the food game, I eat the whole thing of club crackers. That's what they're made for. Why did they just put them in packs of two? I need at least 14.
Yeah, like Oreos.
Well,
I don't. When I see that whole row, I just don't want to wipe it out.
You do want to wipe it out. You want to wipe it out.
I want to, and I usually do.
Now, is that the reason why you have mental issues? Because you want to wipe out the Oreo slide, but you don't?
Oh, I think. By the way, this is Clem Kush 3.
No, they know. You don't. The great thing about podcasting is you don't have to reset because they know what they're listening to. It says it like right across their screen. It'll say Clem Kush 3, and then whatever we name it, John Brennan's a fuckboy or something like that. You can't put cuss words in the title, but you get what I'm coming from. Hello.
Yeah, no.
What's going on?
Isn't podcasting, like a long burn? You don't have to be Johnny. You can like just kind of just fucking chill out.
Yeah, it can be a long burn, but I'd like to know that you're there sometimes. You know,
I'm over here, cuzzy, just trying to get my shit together.
I can't. I'm watching Anna and Lummy do their show, so I don't even see you. So I have to hear
I got
you.
Club crackers in my dental.
I got to hear you, baby. You got some floss? Are you flossing? You want me to kill some time right now? Is this an edit point?
That's a good title though. Club crackers in my dental.
You know, sometimes random titles don't do as well as when you get straight to the point.
Like John Brennan is a fuckboy?
Yeah, like that would be boom.
John Brennan is a fuckboy.
Yeah, like that would be
kinda like it, Kush.
That would shoot right to the top. You know what?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Clem's Clem Kush 2 shot right to the top.
Because
do you think 3 will overtake it?
I do. Bubba, people like this. They like this kind of stuff. So, I mean, we're going to continue to put it out. If Clem Kush 2 didn't outperform the first one, I mean, maybe we wouldn't be doing this. But it's well outperforming the first one. So people like it. They want more. I don't know.
I think they like our dynamic.
Yeah. I don't know if people are reaching out to you, but they're reaching out to me and they like it. They like the one-on-one. They like the real conversation. I mean, despite the fact that we feel like we're being real on the radio, it's not as real as when we're stripped down and we can say whatever we want.
Not only are people reaching out to me, Kush, but I got people that are reaching out to me that and I've not talked to you about.
Come
this.
On, you're gonna okay, say you got whatever, some. You're whatever. Gonna say you got some podcast gurus, right? What do you got? Tell me.
You're such a fuck boy.
You're a pig dick.
You're a fuck boy. I'm trying to tell you what we got.
What do we got?
Trying to be like, you know, fucking Johnny Rah Rah.
What do we got?
And then you're like, what do you got? Joe Rogan wants to do a show with you.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got? Let's hear it. I'm in.
I got a couple pretty big podcasters that have asked me to be on their show in the last couple weeks. And two, I have other podcasters or people in radio that be like, will you distribute your podcast, hit their shitty podcast on our cool fucking podcast?
Wait, okay. So they want to be part of the network.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I have to talk to Seth about that because I don't know if that's what the fuck you do in a podcasting deal.
Yeah. It's all about.
Like if we get like, let's just say Shannon Burke.
Yes.
Let's say Shannon Burke wanted to do the Shannon Burke fucking podcast.
And there's no fucking way he wants to because he does two shows already.
You don't know what our conversation was at the fucking gig
Saturday? You don't remember what color jean jacket he had on.
He said, hey, Sponge.
Oh, hey, Seth, are you really torn up about the election? I see Pennsylvania might be reviewing the...
Man, don't worry about the fucking election sale. I tell you what, ship has sailed, buddy. And that's you doing some ancillary shit, Shando. He's like, yeah, what if I did a podcast? Could I put it on your deal? I'm like, I think that's what the fuck you do. You help your buddy out.
Yeah, so what the deal...
I'm trying to help my buddy out.
What the deal is, Bubba, the way a podcast network kind of work, I can relate it to...
It's about helping your fucking buddy out, ain't it?
No, it's about making money, shithead. What the fuck? This isn't a fucking Big Brother, Big Sister gimmick. We're trying to make some cash. Some kids ass. Say it, cuz.
What if you get an established guy like Shannon Burke that wants to do a podcast,
Bubba,
and do it on your shit?
Here's what happens.
Get some kind of sliv on
Listen,
that?
Listen, let me tell you, cuzzo was a bear. I got it for you.
That's why I told Shannon Burke, quote unquote. I need to ask Seth about this stuff.
He thinks I'm a puss boy, though.
No, I think he thinks knows that you're not a puss boy, but you play a puss boy.
But I am a puss boy. But here's the thing, Spongo, a podcast network which you can start, the Bubba Army, whatever, is like a record label. Okay,
yeah.
So you sign as many talented people as you can that you feel like you can make money off of. So you bring Shannon on, you cut a deal where you go, hey, we're gonna take 10% of your
a lot of it.
Well, whatever, we're gonna take this percentage of your advertising. We're gonna promote it. You're going to be on our network. We're going to mention you. Here's what happens. Then Shannon brings on a person, and then you build out with podcasts. People have podcast networks where there's no revenue at all. It's just like 15 fucking podcasts that don't make any money.
Bunch of fuckboys, right?
Right, that's a bunch of fuckboys. That would not be the case here. So
this ain't the fuckboy network.
No, so you bring in Shannon Burke. Like I think it's a great way to launch a podcast.
I've already that's how happy you should be with me.
Why?
Because you tell me like 3 weeks ago, I want to start doing your podcast, Bob. I'm like, fucking great. Love it. Boom. We take it to the next level. We establish some stuff like Clem and Kush. You know, like we're fucking killing it. Okay.
Yeah.
So then I'm so excited. I'm like, maybe I can ask some other talent that I know because they are asking me about this podcasting shit. And I'm thinking maybe we could put it on our fuckboy network because you are the guy that makes all those decisions.
Yes. Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Why I'm asking you.
I would love to.
I didn't say, hey, Shannon Burke, you want to be on my motherfucking podcast? No, I said, I have to ask the fuckboy if you can be on.
Does he want to do a podcast or did you kind of?
No, he's like, hey, you and Seth have been doing the podcast. I fucking get an automatic download on my Spotify.
He doesn't listen to that shit. There's no way.
I'm telling you right now, why would I lie to you about this stuff?
No, I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying there's no way Shannon Burke's listening to our podcast.
Yes, he does. You want me to call him up right the fuck now?
Yes.
He listens to our podcast.
Call him up right now.
He downloads our podcast.
Call him right now.
Okay, I will.
Let's see. Let's see you use technology that other podcasts can't. You have phone capabilities here.
I'm getting a hold of him right now.
Heavy breathing. Well, you're a slow dialer. Are you going to turn it down so nobody steals his number?
You're just a dick of dickness.
Is that did anybody ever...
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.
Okay, well, you don't leave a message there, Spongo. This isn't that's not a voicemail.
I know. I'm just trying to find the right number. You got me fucking...
Is he always... okay, forget. Is he always on the move? Does he change his number a lot?
No, I just
you got a lot of Shannons?
Some girl sent me a tit shot. God.
Really?
Yes.
No.
And it was fucking my stuff. Yes.
Tit shot. Please.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
Fuck me.
3, 2.
Let me talk, Sponge.
All right.
Let me handle
not
this.
Available.
Shannon, what's going on? It's Seth Cush from the Bubba Love Sponge Show, formerly of Drew Garabo Live. I was talking to Sponge, and he was saying that you want to do a podcast deal. I do not believe him whatsoever. I think it's a lie. But if you do want to do one, let's fucking get this going. Get on our network. We don't have a network, but
and
we will.
Shannon, you not admit to me on Saturday that you download our podcast and you listen to our podcast?
I mean, you can.
He's calling me a liar, Shannon, and you and I talk. I don't fucking lie.
Look, it's okay to say. That's what people do in the podcast community. They go, I download it, but they never listen to it.
But
and
this
that's
motherfucker
okay.
listens. He's my friend.
How could you hear a podcast on a Harley or a hog? Oh, there's no way.
I'm not saying he listens to it on his Harley. He listens to it in his fucking office before he goes on the show.
You think he's got a hammock? You think it's made out of denim?
You think what holds his testicles in?
No, I'm saying a hammock, like you think he hangs out and reads a book in the backyard with a hammock that's made out of denim.
I think he's nude with squirrels chasing his testicles.
And well hung, right?
Anyway, Shannon, call him. We're doing our podcast.
But you can't
now.
Call a podcast.
You can't call a podcast, Shannon. I'll have to get you on the other fucking podcast. See you later, buddy.
Jesus Christ.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase. Message review.
Oh, God.
Shannon, what's going on? It's Seth Cush from the Bubba Love Sponge.
The fuck?
That's
fucking horrible.
What is that?
It's a new special. Hello?
Whatever.
We don't have a network. You do not admit to me on Saturday that you download our podcast and you listen to our podcast.
I mean, we're in a fucking hurricane.
Fire, Shannon, and you and I talk. No, I'd
hang up. I'm about to get the fuck out of here. Who are these guys on my phone?
Why would he want to be part of our network now?
It sounds like I'm being accosted.
We can't get our shit together. We're trying to recruit a guy for our podcast.
Hello?
Our network.
Oh, we're not supposed to be answering phones. That's the other show in the other studio. Let's make it sound really big. Hey, we're not supposed to be answering phones. That's the other studio and the other phone lines. We're in a massive fucking place. It's got a lot of studios.
You're damn right.
I don't even know what we were supposed to be talking
about. All right, listen,
about.
I do.
Okay, it's about our mental health.
You said you wanted to talk about your depression.
Yeah, I am depressed.
Have you always been depressed?
No.
And have you talked about it on the radio?
Never.
Why not?
I mean...
Do you feel like it's a weakness?
Yeah, it makes me look like a pussy.
Why? Don't you know a lot of people that are depressed that are afraid to admit it?
Because I have to fake that I'm not depressed.
Not anymore, man. I think you got to be as real as possible, Bubba.
You couldn't go out there and watch Jimmy Kimmel and he opened the fucking show up and be like, "Hi, I'm Jimmy Kimmel, I'm depressed."
He does. I think he does.
I'm depressed.
Didn't he cry when they killed?
Well, you know, it's easy being depressed when you're on top. Be depressed when you're living in a fucking trailer behind a studio that you're getting ready to get you repossessed.
Well, that's when you should.
As you lost your girlfriend and she filed fucking charges on you that you choked her out.
Oh, that happened?
No, none of that happened.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank God this is a podcast.
Well, you did.
That out immediately.
I can't. I don't know what's true. You did live in the trailer. Bubba, don't squirrel me on the depression thing. Depression is just something that you've had forever, and you've masked it in different ways, probably just by being so successful or whatever.
My depression probably started out as always being a heavy kid, you know, and always having, like, you know, like man tits and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
You know, I would think probably the first time I really got sad is we were, like, in fourth grade. And the teacher, the PE teacher is like, "Okay, we're going to go skins versus shirts." You know, that's how you'd play.
Yes.
They're like, "All right, you five boys take off your shirts, and you five boys keep your shirts on. We're going to play basketball here during PE class."
Could you imagine doing that today, making kids take their shirts off?
No.
I mean, geez.
So this is like 1977, 76. I'm like in fifth grade, and Greg Berger, was my PE coach, and he's like, and it was innocent. It was like we were playing basketball,
Oh, Bubba, are you Stockholmed? You're convinced it was innocent.
PE, we're like playing PE, and there's like 10 boys, and he's like, "Okay, you five boys keep your shirts on, and you five boys take off your shirts. So skin versus shirts. Let's play basketball." Well, you know, I had some big titties.
Even in fifth grade?
Well,
hot damn.
Bigger titties than I would like to have.
Nobody had sculpted pecs back then, so you wanted to be a flat-chested Willie?
Yeah, so, you know, they're like these real, like the hillbilly kids that could do push-ups and stuff.
Right.
You know, like the fucking red, they all, you know, they had like nice little chests. Well, you know, me and Larry Plummer had bitch tits. And so that's probably where I kind of first started. And then so I've always
been. Does depression run in your family? Like, does your mom have it? Did your dad have it? Does your sister have it?
Oh, I think we all got it. None of us want to admit to it.
Well, that's the thing.
I think we're all fucking depressed.
I mean, that's the problem. So what made you want to finally, you know, at least on this forum, open up about it?
I don't want to.
Well, I mean, I feel like you kind of did. What is depression?
I've never mentioned what I just said ever.
I know.
Like, I don't think it's something I should talk about. I got a whole bunch of stuff.
No, Bubba, listen.
Why's it got to be about me?
Well, this is, you're half the show.
No.
You're more than half. You're a radio legend and not me. I mean, that's what the comments are saying. So I have to.
But the radio legend's scared.
I have to write.
The radio legend has played the role of a radio legend, and you've played the role of a shot out, you know, fucking crazy guy. Let's talk to that guy.
I've played the role of my. Dude, I'm me. I think that you know that I'm not somebody on air, that I'm not off the air.
I think you're true to the game, and I'm a fucking poser.
No, I think that it's just you. I understand why people aren't open about their depression. I get called a pussy. Like, I get called all kinds of shit on social media for.
Sometimes I cry when I'm all by myself.
Do you feel better afterwards?
Sometimes. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm being fucking for real.
I cried
over
the weekend.
And the only reason I'm being for real here is because I'm not really thinking anybody's listening to this. Because really, it's not, nobody's listening to it. It's just me and you recording it.
Right.
I know it'll be repurposed for a bunch of shits and giggles, but as it, I just seem like I can maybe break a little bit of shit down. But sometimes I'll be in my grader. I'll be at the track all by myself, and I'm just really thinking about stuff or the past or just good times, and I'll just start fucking crying, just like crying.
Yeah. I think crying, guys. God, all right, never mind. I'm gonna stop right now. It's
no,
really gonna get. It's
really be, no, no, no. Fuck that. Why do I gotta be crying, guy? When I'm not even crying,
pussy,
guy?
Pussy.
I mean, like, I've completely
get on your grader and be a man.
Well, like, I've completely pulled this
and whack off. You gotta whack off on a grader, not cry.
Sometimes I'll be all by myself on that grader, and there's not a person around, and I'll start like rubbing on my penis.
Yeah. That's what I now. That's like, that, yeah, yeah. That's Bubba.
I do a lot of weird things by myself.
Okay, listen, hold on. I cried on Saturday. I cried before I left.
You did?
I
before we went to our gig?
Yes, because I have been majorly depressed the last I don't know, couple weeks. Like,
what were you
crying
about?
It was just
you had to go.
I was a complete.
Hey, we're podcast. I can take my hat off.
Yeah, no, okay. You're good. I just was a complete prick to Phoebe over the last couple of days for what I've been going through. And
why are you so fucking mean to her?
Because it's a struggle.
She puts up with so much weird shit. She could have any guy she wanted with those jugs. And you, like, are just fucking shot out, buddy.
Yeah, that's what she signed up for.
Oh.
So the thing is that when I get through my shit, like, I need support from her. And sometimes
can I start using that?
What?
With chicks I'm dating?
That you need support?
I'm like, no, you fucking signed up for this shit.
Yeah.
If you knew me. I'm not changed a bit.
Right.
I'm
this is
full-blown wacko.
Yeah, I'm the same person. Just my anxieties and depressions are just evolving sometimes, and there's more triggers or whatever.
I
so
need to text myself that. Turn it around.
By the way, we're going to get into some fuckboy shit here, right?
So what did you cry about on Saturday?
Nothing. I just had been.
Did you cry?
It was rough, Bubba.
Did you cry because you felt bad about what you've put her through?
I just cried because it was just, there's so it's just a lot of emotions when you're fucking not feeling great, man. And it lingers for days. Bubba, you can't shake it. Like, depression.
Listen,
somebody goes depressed since
78, bitch, but I'm fucking holding it in. Fucking.
You're not holding it in. You said you cry in a grater.
Yeah, but that doesn't involve anybody. I get it all out.
Okay, well, sometimes I like to cry on my wife's shoulder, pussy.
Oh. I don't have a wife.
Well, you did. And you know.
I fucked it up. That's some things I cry about.
You don't need those bitches anyways.
Yeah. I like being alone. Maybe that's a coping mechanism.
I do too.
For me not to have to fucking deal with bullshit, because bitches are bullshit.
Well, it might be, but it's also you've dealt with it. You deal with so much stuff on a daily basis. It's nice to just not have to worry about shit and to be alone and not have to worry about keeping up a conversation or any of that stuff.
Yeah, like some of the chicks I talk to now. They don't, like, understand. Like, I don't want to, like, I...
You don't want to talk.
I can't. I'm a fucking weirdo. And, yes, I should be asking you about your day. And, yes, I should worry about your kid. But I don't give a fuck. Because I got so much shit. and different people pulling at me that I can't really fucking be fair and worry yeah. about your shit. I'm kind of like,
well, that sounds rough, Bubba.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Gotta worry about the electrician that's gonna be at the racetrack this weekend.
Yeah, that's it's tough.
And the fucking eight families that I feed and shit.
Yeah, well, when you put it that
way. Some fucking girl from Alabama.
Yeah.
Ran away from her mom and dad.
Yeah, we got her taken care of, though. That the Bubba Army's looking out for her. She's gonna have a bunch of new clothes for school year. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what? I gotta kind of fucking put a rule on that.
On what?
I'm gonna have to, like, that's gonna have to, like, I don't even know that we talk about that on the podcast.
No. Just keep it. Let's, yeah, that's for something.
Let's
for
keep
the show.
It crazy.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
We did.
Yeah, so listen, man.
I'm just a faker.
Have you talked to anybody?
I went to a therapist a few times, and it was a woman. One was a man, and one was a woman, and they both came up with the same thing. They called Tom Bean up because Tom is the one that needed me to go.
Right.
Because he's kind of like my life coach kind of deal. And they said, first of all, we saw Mr. Clem. Second of all, and they pretty much both said the same thing. He is either really, 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 really brilliantly insane, maniacal, fucking whack job, can fucking hide and mask and live through different forms of realness, or he's insane.
They use the word insane.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's literally like insane. And we can't, like, it's way above the shit that we're dealing with. Like, he is fucking maniacal, fucking
God, how long were your appointments with them, Bubba, for them to call you maniacal? It's only about 50
like,
minutes.
Brilliant. They're like borderline brilliance, but borderline, like, fucking really, really disturbed. Like, whew, that guy is a fucking faker. And a good one.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't even suggest medicine anymore because I think my medicine's making me worse. So Phoebe looked up a therapy that I have a consultation for that I think they hook shit up to your head.
Shock you.
Oh, I don't
it's
think
a
it's
a shock deal. It's a shock therapy.
I don't want to. It's
what?
Not a shock.
Listen to me. It's a shock therapy. And listen, fuckhead, I've heard good things about it. I have a friend whose mother did that. And had some pretty good success with it. And this has been fairly recent, like last 2 years, where his mother was like fucking crazy. And they did this. I don't know anything about how they do it or what, but it was called mild shock therapy. And they hook these like electrodes up to your fucking head and shit into your back, your neck. And they like, and it kind of like rewires you a little bit. And I heard good things about it. Like, I want to take a shit on it, make fun of you, and call you fucking Frank Stein. But I've heard good things about it if I was to be true to
I've heard good things, too. And you know what? I don't give a fuck, man. I gotta try to make myself better.
Rewire yourself.
For myself and for my family.
But here's what I'm worried about, Seth. If I go, if I fix this craziness.
Oh, God, no, Bubba, you're not going to lose any of your radios.
All right, motherfucker. That's okay.
No.
Can I tell you what makes me crazy?
Yeah.
As my friend?
Yeah.
If I fix my crazy, then I'll lose my edge. The edge that I have, my story timing
nope.
edge, my showbiz
edge. It'll get better.
No, I don't think so.
It'll get better. Sponge, I got to tell you, man.
Cannot affect it.
I've been on multiple medications for my depression and anxiety, and the reason why, and it's only been over the last year and a half or so. So I self-medicated for, I don't know, 37 years, and I was worried about that. I thought it would fuck with my creativity, and taking away the anxiety sometimes and being able to quell some of the depression.
But you don't do the same thing as me.
No, I don't do the same thing as you, but I'm telling you that you're not going to lose that because you're going to have more brain power. That's not going to be – you're not going to be caught
Seth,
up in a depression.
I don't have a lot of brain power.
I know, but the brain power you have, you're spending it on like being sad and stuff like that. So if you did therapy or you did some sort of medication, it would alleviate that.
To let you know how fucking shot out I am.
You don't want to get better.
I wrote my periods of my life and why I'm where I am today. Like 66 to 69 were just the adolescent stages, and then 69 to 77 were the Madison Elementary. There's all kinds of fucking stories there. Then 78 to 80 was in middle school when I was low man but yet high man. And then my freshman year in 1980 when I was a standalone Willie, and then 80 to 84, sophomore, junior, senior, which was a progression. Sophomore, you're a pussy, and you get picked on, and then senior, you're the captain of the football team, and you bully guys.
Where did
and
you
then 80 to 8, 84 to 86 was my lonely period. And then 86 to 88 is when I first got into radio. And then 88 to 92, all the trials and tribulations, including Philadelphia and attempted suicide.
Oh, my God.
Then 92 to 96 at the Power Pig when I was as heavy as I've ever been, but happier than I've ever been. Then 96 to 04 in the 98 rock deals. And then 04 to 05 when I got fired. And then 06 to 11, my most glorious days of all when I was at Sirius XM in my marriage. And then 11 and 12, 11 and 12 when I was doing Cox only. And then the single fucking thing that has ruined my life is the sex tape.
Oh, okay.
And then 12 to 14 with Nikki and Cox. And then Cox fires me in September of 14. And I do 2 years with the Bubba Army radio deal feeling good, but it's just patchwork. I'm just kidding myself. I'm really depressed because I missed the 06 to 11 days. And then 17 through 19, my worst, where I was going to kill myself. I had the gun out as I was in the trailer, as I was living in a 31-foot trailer, and my son told me he never wanted to see me again, ever, in my life. And I was living in a 31-foot trailer behind the studios that were getting foreclosed on. I got the gun out, and I was going to kill myself.
What stopped you?
Can't even tell you.
That's the first time you've talked about the Tyler stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you told me on the phone one day, and I was like, holy shit.
And so look how far I've come from my son telling me April of 2019, you are a joke. My friends make fun of me based on, you know, my friends Google you and they say all these things and you embarrass me. Like, this almost makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's fucking embarrassing and, you know, and I never want to see you again. To now, my son won a big race this past week and he knew I couldn't be there, but he, you know, on the video specifically, he thanked his dad. And that made me, you guys have no idea how much that made me cry.
I get that as a parent. I feel that. I mean, what did he have a conversation with? I know that you guys have recently, you know, been.
We started back kind of. He started living with me at Tara's in June.
Okay. Now, he just seems like a very smart and respectful kid and all that. Like, did you guys have a conversation about what he had said to you? Or did you just kind of pick it back up? Like, you know, like you just let it go.
No, I took him to breakfast on Sunday, him and his girlfriend, and I said, you made me so proud, and thank you so much for saying that. And, you know, it was just a super cool moment.
No, I know what I'm saying, like, when he said that he never wanted to see you again, you were an embarrassment. Did you guys ever have a conversation after that?
Yeah, well, I would text him, like, every, you know, couple weeks and say, I love you, and I hope that you please sometimes give me a chance to be back in your life. And, you know, we kept reiterating, I love you, I love you, I love you. I think this is just from this past weekend, this Saturday.
Me too, I couldn't slow down where I needed to, but Dad, I'm sure you're going to see this. Well, I love you, and thank you for everything you do for me, man. It sucks you can't be here, but I love you.
Yeah, he'll know one day, man, and I think he probably is realizing it now, having full access to the internet and, you know, being around you more, that, you know, he'll probably realize that, you know, you made mistakes, but you were always trying.
It was more of the other parent that was brainwashing him and telling him stuff like that. And so we're beyond all that, and he's 18.
She gave you a great son, hell of a woman.
She did, and I have a lot of respect for her.
Me too.
And but it gets tough co-parenting sometimes when, you know.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Okay, what is co-parenting? Oh, is that when you're divorced?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I never was. Tyler's mom and I were never.
Hell yeah. You just hit it and quit it. You know what I'm saying? Put a baby inside you. Boom. Got a race car baby.
That was kind of an outburst, cousin.
Sorry. Well, I felt like, you know, sometimes you got to have these. You got to bring it back up. People might want to kill themselves now. So yeah, well. They're like, oh, my God, it's been a facade. Bubba hung in during, like, when he had a trailer and everything, and his son didn't want to talk to him. Now we find out that he was depressed and he wanted to kill himself.
I mean, like in June of last year, May of 19, I'm living at the studios in this trailer. I sold my house, my big million-dollar home, and after I paid back all the back taxes and all the fines and foreclosure fees, I had $23,000 left. I should have had, you know, $1 million.
It's not bad, though. Right now, $23,000.
And I took it, and I bought a trailer, so I had a place to live, and I parked it behind the studios, and the new landlord that bought it said, yeah, I don't care, whatever. And I lived there for 3 months, and that's while I was, you know, my son came down and visited me one time, and like, you know, it was just bad. It was just bad.
I get. Well, I'm glad you guys are back.
And I love him so much. And it's just, God, I don't know if anybody has any, if any, any of people that are listening to the show have kids that you've been estranged from for any amount of time. And you just don't get to see your kid. Can you imagine not seeing Sethy for a year?
No,
I didn't physically or speak to my son for a year. I tried and tried. And we, you know, it just was no. All fucked up stuff.
And can I tell you honestly?
That's where I wanted to go. That's when I wanted to, I was like, what do I have to live
well,
for?
Well, I got
to
tell you, I probably would have considered suicide also if that was at that point.
It's like, what do you want to live for?
Yeah.
You know, like your kid is your like most precious commodity. He has, you know, told me I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, I hope.
I am a piece of shit. I live in a fucking trailer. I've lost it all. I'm a piece of fucking shit.
By the way, I also don't want people to think that we're not taking suicide or anything lightly. Bubba's opening up. Like, I've had crazy thoughts on different medications. Like, it's something very serious. So that's why we're talking about it.
And in fact, the suicide prevention hotline is 800-273-8255. This is not clowning suicide. This is talking about how... I'm so glad I didn't choose that option because it would have been a selfish option, and I would have hurt so many people over my selfless act that I need to get through this as a man or as a human being and make myself stronger and make, you know, people that love me stronger.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have blown your Slimer head off that day, then we would never would have had this moment where Tyler thanked you, you know, for not being at his event where he took home 10% of the big time prize that he probably has to put straight in your pocket. So, I mean, that event led to this, Bubba, so I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad I'm alive.
I think we pretty much ended with that because that's almost giving him too much.
Was it the Slimer thing?
I'm glad you didn't blow your Slimer head off.
Is that it? Should we do another one this week where we talk about the cock stuff? Because people seem to like when I go in on them a little bit.
Well,
I like to drop little tidbits because I know they throw it around.
I think we need to...
Because I got a couple things. I got, like, where my demise started, which was when they brought SBK.
Yeah, we can't make it about me. We have to, give them at least, you know, well, 5 to 8 minutes of your,
well, I'm
of
just saying,
your
I,
nonsense.
I got a couple of things. Like, I got where they brought SBK on where it started to feel like...
And you know that I made, like, I'm the one that made them... I don't know if you know this.
Yes, I know. I know you got him his job at Cox because you made him an offer, and then they got scared that he was going to leave, and then they put him under contract.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, everybody.
But I didn't know that was going to fuck your deal up.
Well, they forced him on Drew's show, and they were trying to make him a two, and I was kind of the two. And
you are the two. Well, like you're my two.
But I was, I'm a two, but Cox was telling me that I was a three and that I was.
Meanwhile, you are a two and you're playing the role of a two.
Right.
And next thing you know, they're trying to tell you what the fuck you're not.
Well,
I
could host. So when you.
I mean, you could be a one, yeah, but
right.
You're playing two at that point.
I'm playing two, so they brought SBK.
You're Scotty Pippen at that point.
They brought SBK on to be Scotty Pippen, and he just wasn't.
And he was fucking Luke Longley.
Right. He wasn't just like, he wouldn't even look at Drew. Like, he would keep his face down his computer.
Anderson.
Yeah, and it was just. It was a whole thing, and I kept going into these meetings and saying, I'm like, hey, I'm executive producer. I'm trying to scale back, and it kept being like, hey, you know, don't talk like this or try to do this. There was one time over December, over Christmas vacation, where I ran up to the station for a second for one thing, and Drew was up there for whatever reason, and we were like, our show was playing. It was best stuff. We go, let's just go on the air. So Drew and I went on the air for just like
a prompt two, Willie.
Just like an hour, and it was when SBK first joined the show, and SBK calls John Brennan and goes, those guys went on the air without me. That's so unfair. So then John Brennan calls us and goes, next time you guys go on the air, you need to call SBK. And I go, what the fuck? I go, we were just up there. We decided to go on the air.
Just did some grab-ass radio.
Yeah, so it was a big thing for 3 years of SBK going to John Brennan, Drew going to John, everybody going to John Brennan.
But, meanwhile, why couldn't Drew just run his own business? Like, why couldn't he fucking, you know,
Drew
like,
can't,
manage his own show? Be like, listen.
He was afraid. He was afraid of Kevin.
God.
He's afraid of that. He was afraid of it. Drew does not have the capacity to have a conversation off the air, and that's what led to me leaving one day. The day that I decided to quit was we had Drew Garabo live sign that we kind of would hang up over Mike Calta's sign that was
right.
in the studio.
The backdrop Willie.
Yeah, so
right.
at the end of Drew's show, he would do Give Dick a Rest, where you know people would just call up and say random shit or whatever. It was like the last minute of the show.
Right.
So
like, like a boogeyman check.
Yeah, for like the final, like we had that banner for 2 months, so whenever we would start that bit, I would always take my headphones off and start to take down the banner because I always wanted to get the fuck out of the studio before the next show came in because I didn't want to make
small... You were banner boy?
Yes, I was.
I've never made you be a banner boy.
Well, you know,
I don't want to hear anything.
I was the EP. It was just a 3-person show. It was
right,
just me,
right.
you know. So I was like, all right, I was taking it down. So the next day, Drew calls me into the office and he goes, yeah, I just wanted to see, you know, what's going on with you. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, you started, you know, taking down the banner. You checked out of the show early. And I go, I've been doing that for the last 2 months. I go, if that was a problem, you definitely could have let me know. But, you know, and he goes, well, you know, I just want to let you know that you're the only negative one on the show and that, you know, you're the only person that doesn't want to be here and you're negative all the time. And I'm like, A, this guy had been having meetings with fucking iHeart under contract. John Senning was trying to find another job and Micah Rotunda was trying to find another job. So he looks at me and starts telling me that I'm selfish and I'm the only person. I only care about myself. And so I walk down to John Brennan's office and I go, I can't do the show with Drew right now. He's being, you know, a complete fucking idiot. Or he told me to go home or something. And John Brennan goes, no, you're not going home. You're not going home. So then Drew goes in there and then
a bunch of fuckboys.
Yeah, Drew sends an email to John Brennan documenting everything that happened because they got. So then I stayed home that day, and then I came in the next day to try to have a.
I mean, at least you have full blown man like fucking meltdowns on my place. It's none of this bitch boy shit.
Well, I said everything I needed to say to Drew's face. So then I came in the next day, and I think that we were gonna. I think I was gonna try to go on the air. And Drew didn't say anything to me, like, when I went on the show. And then off the air, he goes, you know what, man? You're just always going to be a problem. There's always going to be something, you know? And I think I called him a scumbag, and he ran down to John Brennan's office and said he just called him a scumbag. I want him off my show. And it was I had already told John Brennan that I had put in my 2 weeks' notice. So
now, when you went on that one day, because I was listening on the radio, and you, like,
yeah, that was so. When I went
that
on
that was after this R had already happened, right? What you just described.
Yes,
oh, okay.
For about a week and a half, they sent me home and they wouldn't let me go on the air because they couldn't figure out what to do with me.
Because Drew was supposedly uncomfortable or whatever.
Well, they just, Bubba, they don't know what the fuck to do over there. So they didn't know what to do with me because I was quitting and they didn't know how they were going to handle it. And it just kept going on and on. So I said, I told John Brennan, I go, hey, listen. If you guys don't ever want to announce anything, I go, that's totally cool. I go, I'm going to go on social media and talk about that I'm not on the show anymore because I have to find another job. So he's like, okay, well, you know, we don't really do stuff like this, but, you know, we're going to let you go on the air and, you know, say your goodbye and stuff like that. So that's what you heard, where they let me go on, you know, that day for a final 30 minutes.
See, I thought it was more like opposite of that. Meaning, like, they didn't even know that you were going to come in there and do this. Or they kind of knew, but it was under different
pretense. No, I told John Brennan that I put in my 2 weeks' notice, and then he's like, well, just think about it, you know, all this stuff. And then the next day or that day, I ended up texting him and go, I'm definitely done here. So they told me not to come in, and they didn't know what to do with me. So when you heard me talking about why I wasn't there anymore.
I remember calling Blitz up and saying, hey. Blitz, yeah. I just heard on Drew Graba's show, and I think it's a fucking shoot. I think that Kush kid is out of there.
Yeah.
I think he's fucking over it.
It was bullshit. So Drew was mad because I told John Brennan that.
Blitz goes, he's a fucking weirdo, but he's funny.
Yeah. No, Drew was mad because Drew went in, John Senning went in, and they started talking about how aloof I was and how I didn't want to be there, which I honestly didn't want to be at work anymore, but I showed up and put in an effort every single day.
Well, and you needed the money.
Well, as the producer, Drew got mad also because I told him that I was here for money and insurance, and he got mad at that. Like, I was supposed to be, like, I'm working for any other reason than for all that shit. So Drew was mad at me that I told John Brennan that he met with iHeart while he was under contract, but I was more kind of, the reason I did that was because I wanted John Brennan to know that he has absolutely no fucking idea what goes on as, you know, him being the boss of the bone. Like, if I had...
Like, he has zero idea what the fuck's going on.
Like, if I had people under contract, which I wasn't under contract, but if I had people under contract, I wouldn't want them meeting with my competition's boss. That's just what I'm saying. I wouldn't want that at all. So I did that as kind of a reason to, as an FU to, I guess, both of those guys. So, and John Brennan... As I told John Brennan that, John Brennan went back to tell that to Drew. So, Drew and I had, I think, kind of a blowout on our last day also.
When when Drew gets fired or any of those guys get fired,
yeah,
should we like offer them to come on the show?
For what?
To just, you know, say, hey, buddy, let's talk about this shit and look who still has got, look who's still doing it, buddy.
Well,
we're still doing it.
I'm not, I mean,
doing
look.
Doing it well.
I'm not trying to rub anything in anybody's face.
Oh, I'm not trying to rub.
Yeah.
I'm trying to take the high road and be a gentleman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't, I got to be honest with you. I don't, it might sound differently. I don't know how people perceive it, but I don't give a fuck about Drew at all. He was always about himself. I didn't think that he was a leader. He wasn't the kind of guy that could look out after a show. And,
you are terrible and they know it.
The thing, I, what do you consider? I mean, I haven't, I might have crossed. No, I don't. I consider you and I could have as much beef as we want. I don't, we never,
And think about this. Fucking Keith Lawless, for their, because of their hatred to me, blows up the absolute best lineup in Tampa history. With regards to having some really, really established personalities, my show in the morning, Caltas in the afternoon, Drew for middays. I don't know who the fuck was at night. Maybe Soul Brother Kevin, Mo, whoever. But I'm just saying, like, three pretty strong, you know, franchises. You blow up. So, like, I don't even fucking understand, because you're going to let one of the franchises, Calta, try to tell you that I'm a problem and not a team player, and that the franchise will be stronger without me. Like, I don't understand. Like, right?
Yeah, but
like, I mean, look at the lineup they had, right?
It's just you're in a better spot, Bubba. You don't need to be. You don't
now
need to be
I
there.
Am. Now we are.
You are. But this, there's nothing going on over there.
No,
except,
there's nothing going
there's
on.
There's nothing
anywhere.
Going on over there except panic and trying to figure out like how to
trying to figure out what we got. We've kind of. I had a guy in radio told me that you've reverse engineered this. You went out and got what everybody else wants and told and said and basically got thrown off of what they got. But really, in order to survive, they need to have what the fuck you got.
Yeah.
And you got it. It's not as sexy in your mind locally as what they have, but that's dying like a motherfucker. You got where these guys need to be.
Exactly.
And we got it.
So let's just keep fucking rolling with it. But along the way, I will tell my story about, you know, I worked there for 18 fucking years. So
I want you to.
Again, mad, not bitter. Mad, not bitter. I got a lot of stories about those motherfuckers,
you know,
and they're all dirty.
You know there's three forms of healing, sad, mad, glad. Did you know that?
No. Uh-uh.
I was never my therapist.
I never went through the sad, but there was never any sadness. I was completely fucking relieved when I left there, but anytime I hear that somebody's chirping me, oh my God, these dirty motherfuckers, they're the last people in the world that should be talking. So I will take each podcast episode to at least try and drag.
Start breaking that down.
At least dragging one of my former coworkers, yes.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and today it was where I called Drew a scumbag and he ran to John Brennan's office and told him that I had called him a scumbag. It was shook.
What a pussy.
Yeah.
You should be very happy towards Mike because. This is the. I mean,
oh,
this...
did you know that when I was playing this stuff, right? When I was at Bubba 98.7.
Oh yeah,
right?
They put a cease and desist on it.
So I was playing.
I don't hide from people, and I always tell the truth.
But what they don't realize is this was on my show. I called you on the air. You took my phone call, and this was broadcast on my airwaves. So that means I own it, right? Exactly.
Oh, I don't know the laws, but I know they were feeling really good when they sent over a cease and desist.
I am never going to be a guy to run from you. You call me, I'll take your phone call. You know, you should be very happy towards Mike because this is the. I mean, this honestly, like,
is there any bigger of an ass kisser than this guy?
No.
Mike gets syndicated because of this. If I'm making my projections within a year, Mike's on in major market.
Supposedly, him and Calta are most disturbed by this piece, and then by the heavy rotation. This one?
No, and that's the thing. I, you know.
Calta one time goes, I need to explain about that. Shut the fuck up, fuck boy. You can't explain about the fact that your brain is cross-wired when Hogan says that you're a good guy, never did anything wrong. How the fuck your brain just cross-wires? You can't, there's no explanation needed, cuz
I never actually crossed the line and did something that was, you know. No, and that's the thing. I what do you consider? I mean, I haven't. I might have crossed the line. No, I don't. I consider crossing the line. You and I could have as much beef as we want. I don't. We never.
And that's a fucking shoot.
It's Mike's on in Atlanta. Mike, and I don't want to, I'm not looking to make him uncomfortable or blow up his spot, but I truly believe this because I enjoy his radio program and I think he's very relatable. I think his show works in any market.
Yeah, it's the natural progression, too, when you get to that level of success. It's
absolutely.
The next step is syndication.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're two fuckboys.
The only thing I feel holding him back from syndication has been his time slot. You know, 3 to 7, the afternoon show.
Or the fact that radio fucking doesn't syndicate shit anymore.
It's a tough one to get syndicated.
There's just not that many stations that offer that.
Right. But mornings, I see him. I mean, I'm not looking to put the next big thing label on him, but he's the next big thing.
Fuck off. Fucking idiot. Any more of a fucking mold up idiot besides you, you stupid fuck.
We'll play that every time, guys. I hope you love it.
I think
Bubba, let me put, where
is the time gone,
hey,
Seth?
Let me put this up today.
Okay. I'll put this up today.
Let me put it up today.
Put it up today like a fucking vandal.
What do you think?
Put it up, cuzzo.
Let's do it.
How fast can you get it put up?
I'll have it up
spread.
A couple hours.
Can you have it spread?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. Nobody knows what fucking time it is right now, but it'll be up today.
Let me know because I'll be on my tractor. And Ocala, and I'll promote it.
Yeah, is that okay that we'll drop one a day early?
Yeah, fuck
okay.
Yeah.
Got to get those numbers up from the weekend.
We got to get those fucking numbers up, and we have, you know, we may have to do another one of these yet this week because it's a short week, Willie, and I like it.
I think we should do one and probably record it this week and drop it on like Thursday or Friday.
Maybe we could do one on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, that officially has been, I guess you don't even, like, I don't even say.
No, I mean, you could just say, go.
You're fucking bored.
Rate us 5 stars on Apple or anywhere you get your podcast. Write us a review and, swing from these, Manson. Everybody in Orlando is very happy you're off the show. They said they're happy your dark energy's gone.
Keep it going.
I know, that's all I have. And even his good friends said that his new show sucks, that they love him dearly, but his new show's terrible. Bye.